Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and you're ready for some fun this week because it's going to be a busy one, no doubt about it. We've got to talk about the AOC of Tennessee, and yes, that does rhyme. The AOC of Tennessee. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. And I hope you had a great time and got to see your family and your friends and great turkey. We deep fried. It was a huge success. Smashing success, which I posted to social media as well. Crispy skin. It's the way you want it. And very, very happy about that. And yes, we are talking about Lyme disease today. No, really, for real, Lyme disease. I know. Why? Because it's a big deal. And Dr. Marty McCarry was on a podcast with Patrick Bet David talking about Lyme disease and how it came from a lab, something that New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith has been saying forever. We've talked about it on this show for over a decade, actually. We've had the congressman on. We've talked about it. He reintroduced the bill this past September to try to get more funding for Lyme disease, but the effort to fully figure out whether or not Lyme came from a lab as a bioengineered weapon, the answer, of course, is yes, it did. No doubt about that. But that effort is not going anywhere anytime soon, which is a damn shame. But anyway, we'll get into that because he also had some interesting things to say about the origins of HIV. He's not sure, but there's a lot of evidence potentially that that came from a lab, too. And all this is going on as the White Coat Waste Project, our friends over there, they're the ones who are the anti-animal testing people. Justin Goodman has been a great friend of the show. He's come on many times. They're pointing out now that the gain-of-function research is still going on involving ticks and the mRNA vaccine or the mRNA, you know, potential for a vaccine, I should say. So that's crazy. That's ridiculous. That should not be happening. Not at all. All right. So we'll talk about that, too. And, of course, we're talking about Tim Walz because he's in the news for all the wrong reasons. There's a lot of Tim Walz news today. $1 billion, billion with a B, money gone. Gone, gone, gone. How does that happen anyway? How does that happen, the kind of incompetence of Tim Walz? And he's up for re-election, and I don't think he's going to win. He shouldn't win. He's a freaking doofus and a goofball. The president called him the R word. It's not a word we use in my house. I try not to make sure my kids don't use that word. That's like that's a bad no-no. But it doesn't change the fact that Tim Walz is a doofus. And I would have preferred the president use the word doofus. But it doesn't change the fact that Tim Walz has something seriously, seriously wrong with him. And he was on TV yesterday on the Sunday shows just making a jackass of himself. It really was. And the thing about it is that guy, he's running for president. You know that, right? If he gets reelected as governor of Minnesota, he's going to run for president and do his flailing arm Richard Simmons. But it was the New York Times that exposed the $1 billion of waste. Yes, the far right wing New York Times. The very explosive piece about how all this money went missing and all kinds of fraud, specifically around Somali refugees and others. And he's on TV yesterday going, well, it wasn't just Somali refugees. It's other refugees, too. Other people, too, who built the system. Like, dude, it happened under your watch, man. You are incompetent. Completely incompetent. So we'll talk about that today as well. And since we are getting into the holidays now, you should know, it was on this date in 1989... National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation came out, and that movie still holds up as good as ever. How do I know? Because we watched it yesterday, because that's our tradition when we decorate our tree after getting it from a Christmas tree farm to help out the local farmers. We watch Christmas Vacation, and I got to tell you, it still holds up great. It really does. It may even be funnier. And Patrick loved it, too. Now, I was a little bummed because he had already seen it with his buddies. They had a sleepover and he watched it, but he still watched it with us and he loved it. And the jokes that are, because the movie's PG-13, the jokes that are inappropriate luckily went right over my girls' heads. So they didn't even catch him, which is good. Except for the part when Clark Griswold gives the guy the middle finger at the opening of the movie and they're driving. And Reagan asked what that was and Claire goes, I know what it means. And I looked at her and she said, but I would never do it, Dad. I said, good. Good answer. But anyway, we'll watch other holiday. We watch a lot of Christmas movies in my house. Basically, from now until December 25th, there's always a Christmas movie on in some way, shape, or form. And the kids have CCD today, so they're learning all about, you know, the season of Advent. We'll do the Advent calendar, do all that. Fun stuff. Great time of year. I love this time of year. It's fun. It really is. And hopefully you survived Thanksgiving if you had any in-laws, and hopefully there was no fighting. I was on Friday night. You might have caught it. I was on Ingram Engel, guest hosted by Lisa Booth. This is after leaving the Eagles game, freezing cold, to do the hit from a van down by the river, and the van was freezing cold, too. That game, I don't have to get into it, you know, so I don't have to say it. But anyway, we were talking about how the squad members were all posting on Thanksgiving their wonderful missives for America about how we're stolen land, oppressed people, were colonizers, basically how they hate America. The squad members, full-on hatred of America on Thanksgiving, a day when everybody is just thankful and grateful and ready to spend a lot of money. And I got just a minor little bone to pick here, just a tiny little one. Cyber Monday. What year is this now that we're still doing this Cyber Monday nonsense? And how does it differ from Black Friday if you're shopping online? Does it? I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that the discounts, the emails on Friday, and now the discounts on Monday seem to be different. I'm not quite sure, but happy Cyber Monday. But as most Americans were thankful and also praying for a fallen National Guard soldier, 20 years old, I mean, horrific, so sad, as another National Guard soldier clings to his life, these squad lunatics are out there, and they're all hating on America. We're oppressed land. We're terrible people. This country stinks. And this is the problem the Democrat Party has right now. There's an article I read today in Politico about the biggest challenges the Democrat Party faces right now are primary fights heading into 2026. And they were focusing on Pennsylvania in a big way because there's going to be a lot of primary battles, not just for Congress, but at all levels of government. And then nationally, they kind of looked at it nationally, too. Primaries, just about every level of office you can imagine. And what's causing this? It's what I've told you. It is the Zora Mamdani socialist kook squad problem, which is you gotta pick a team now. Every Democrat has to say, are they with the Mamdani socialist kook wing of the party or not? If they're not, they're going to face a primary challenge. If they are, they got problems in the general election. That's what we're looking at right now. That's what we're talking about at this very, very moment. And I'll tell you one thing, too, which I think is very clear, is that as all these Democrats are now facing these primary challenges, there is this civil war happening among Democrats who are saying things like, you know, this country, this Democrat Party, I should say, does not look like America anymore. It doesn't sound like America. And it just sounds crazy. And Melissa DeRosa, who I was on last week on America Reports with, she's on with Martha McCallum right now, actually, and she's saying the same thing. She's saying that the Democrat Party is in the middle of a civil war. When you read that article today about all the primaries they're facing, you can see it very clearly. Now, there is an effort to try to say that the Republicans are also in a civil war right now. And there's an article today, which we'll get into. Miranda Devine wrote it in the New York Post about Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, and basically saying how Kash Patel and Dan Bongino are on their way out. Now, this happened after last week when the White House came out and said, the president himself said, no, Kash Patel's not going anywhere. He's doing great. That's very often the kiss of death in these situations. But I'm going to preface the Miranda Devine article with just one piece of insider information you got to realize, which is that our friend Brooke Singman from Fox News Digital, who was on the show with us, not last week as I was off, but the week before, she said a lot of things. And then she went down to D.C., she took the train down to D.C., and she spoke with Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. And she met with them, and Miranda Devine was not happy about it. She was not happy that she had this conversation. So I don't know if this is a little bit of hell hath no fury and she's a little bit angry and she's like, oh, I'll get you guys. But there is this report that's being presented to Congress about how things are going at the FBI. And apparently, according to Miranda Devine's sources, it's not going great for Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. And the only thing I'll say, though, is that I think a lot of this stuff with these anonymous sources, some of this stuff I take with a grain of salt. I do think, though, the fact that we are so far out of Butler and we don't have answers, the way the Epstein thing was completely botched from start to finish, putting the president in a very bad position. And I think probably also for Bongino's perspective, he probably misses all the money he was making with his widely successful national podcast. I wouldn't be surprised if there are changes that are coming. I wouldn't be surprised in the least. But some of the things in the article are kind of stupid. Like, there's this whole thing about how when Kash Patel went to Charlie, after Charlie Kirk was assassinated and Kash Patel landed, he wanted an FBI jacket to wear and they didn't have one for him and he had to get one and they had to bring patches over. And I don't know if I believe all that. Like, some of that stuff seems petty and silly and vindictive. It does go on to say, apparently, and Miranda Devine's top notch. She wrote the Hunter Biden laptop story, so her credibility is unmatched. But it does go on to say that Miranda Devine, in her piece, says that they both deserve tremendous credit and are getting great credit for how they're working with these other agencies on things like deportations and also on getting rid of DEI. And that's been a big deal, getting rid of DEI. It's been an administrative burden. Obviously, it's expensive. It's stupid. But the big problem may not necessarily be Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. It's the fact that within the FBI, you still have all these swamp creatures there. Very anti-Trump derangement syndrome, as she puts it. People working within the FBI and the Department of Justice still to this day. That does not surprise me in the least. Does it surprise you? It shouldn't. And you consider for the moment that there are people there who have been entrenched within the bureaucracy for decades, and they know how to hide. And I've always said to you, the bureaucracy circles the wagons for the bureaucracy, meaning that if you are part of the bureaucracy, they're going to circle the wagons for you and they're going to make sure that you are protected unless they feel like the target's on them, in which case then they're going to absolutely 100% throw you under the bus. And that happens, too. But I think it's frustrating that we don't know more about Butler. I mean, Susan Crabtree, our friend, has written about this many, many times. And Miranda Devine referenced Susan Crabtree a couple weeks ago in her piece about Butler and saying that within the Secret Service, because that's really been Susan Crabtree's focus, there's low morale, there's a lot of frustration in the agency, and then there's the interagency battle between the Secret Service and the FBI over who's screwing up more in getting us answers on Butler. And we know that it was that FBI deputy director who told Congress that Thomas Crooks, the assassin in Butler, had no digital footprint. Then we find out from the reporting by Devine and Crabtree, he absolutely did have a digital footprint. It's just that he did, and then he didn't. And they just focused on the time when he didn't and not the time when he did. So pointing that out is very important and very key to the interagency squabbles that are going on, as these people within the agencies are pointing fingers. And I don't know, I have no way of knowing whether or not the White House is angry over the handling of the Epstein files, but my guess is there has to be people within the president's orbit who are, because of the fact that it wound up landing on his desk in the way that it did, and these people are supposed to be there to make sure that it doesn't. Whether the Epstein files ever had to be something that was signed into law by Congress. And don't forget, we're a couple weeks away from when the DOJ is supposed to release all those names, which we know are going to be redacted. I mean, the full report, it's going to be covered with redactions. Somebody's going to probably get blamed for that, too. And I think that the attorney general is very close to the president. She knows where the bodies are buried, so to speak, as the old saying goes. So what's more likely? Is it more likely that she's out, or is it more likely that Dan Bongino decides he wants to go back to doing his podcast and fight for America, and Kash Patel kind of goes out the door? Now, maybe not. But maybe Miranda Devine's writing this piece in the New York Post today because she's just really angry that Brooke Singman got the interview and she didn't. Maybe it's multiple things happening at the same time. What I do know, though, is that typically stories like this are written before people exit the door. It just kind of seems the way it always works. So we'll see. We'll see what happens when all this plays out. But we'll talk more about that as the show unfolds today. I'm angry. I'm sure you are, too, that it's been a year and a half since Butler, and we don't know more. A year and a half since Butler, we've been lied to. We've been misled. And I'm not saying it's Kash Patel's fault. I'm not saying it's Dan Bongino's fault. I'm saying it's people within the FBI. And I don't blame them for not being able to root these people out. Like I said, these bureaucrats are very good at finding places to hide and crawling into shadows and blaming other people. No doubt about it. And do I think that there's Trump derangement syndrome in the FBI? Of course I do. I mean, these are the people that raided his house in Mar-a-Lago. These are people who are working with Jack Smith to go after him. It's not like that whole place has been cleaned out. So, of course, there's going to be people like that in both the FBI and the DOJ. Let's remember, too, as far back as 2016. And Peter Strzok, Mr. Strzok, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, FBI, DOJ, the two lovebirds, they were behind all this. I mean, the FBI working under James Comey, working with Brennan and Clapper and all these other people to undermine the president, to bring the presidency down. We know the household names. We know the big names. But there's a whole supporting cast of characters there that we don't know who they are. We've never heard of these people before. How many of them are still there? How many of them still are able to wield power and slow this administration to basically a halt? Those are the kind of questions we have to get answers to. But one thing is very obvious as this report is being ready to be released is that these people are still there with a lot of power, maybe more power now than they've ever had. Which is crazy to think about when you say, well, our people are in charge. Yeah, but they've also figured out how to be survivors now. A year into the administration, they're still there. They've figured out the way to survive. So the odds are they'll probably find a way to keep going. It's the biggest problem I have with the bureaucracy is that these swamp creatures are the hardest ones to get rid of. You can get rid of politicians by unelecting them, but the reason why we say they're unelectable, unaccountable bureaucrats is because you don't elect them, and very often they're not accountable to anyone. And they've gotten used to a system where they can just wait till the next director, the next cabinet secretary, the next president. They just kind of keep their head down. And then when somebody who idealistically they agree with gets in there, then they can implement all their crazy ideas and their crazy policies. And we had this problem for years with the EPA. Lee Zeldin, to his credit, has been doing a great job fighting this, but I'm sure there's people still there at the EPA who are still working on things like wind turbines. You know, if they ever get the ability to have a Democrat back in the White House who decides they want to move forward with these things, which is exactly what would happen, by the way, if a Democrat got back in, or solar panels or whatever it is, and they'll have it all ready to go. You know, just need your signature right here. All the documents have been prepared for you, and even put the little helpful sign here, little tabby thingies on. You know, you rip them off after you sign. You know I'm talking about, right? Those little things. Those things. All ready to go. Packaged up for a Democrat who comes in the White House. And they're probably also working on what the next investigations will be into this administration when the president leaves office. Which is why this issue of these drug boats keeps coming up. And the story in the Washington Post over the weekend was that Pete Hegseth gave this kill order, which the White House is now furiously denying, saying that there were survivors, and he said, kill them all, and they're saying that's not what happened. that the order was given by the head of the command and it was done in accordance with international law and with the naval code and with everything else. But you know as well as I do that when they're talking about a bipartisan investigation into this stuff, that's also laying the groundwork for the investigations that will come at some point if a Democrat gets back in the White House, which is why I said last week, and I'll say it again, the president should go to Congress and get authorization, specific authorization on this issue, and just take that issue away from the Democrats. He's got the votes in the House and the Senate. I think it would be the wise thing to do and just protect him constitutionally, but also protect him if the Democrats get back in charge in midterms. Now, whether or not they will or not, they'll find something to impeach him over. Now, the ballroom, right? I mean, they'll impeach him over the ballroom, the demolition, say something's not up to code. There's a million things they'll try to impeach him on. I'm not, I mean, you could just, you'd get, you could never come up with a full list of all the things the Democrats are trying to, I mean, just look at the crazy guy with the cane, for example. He's still yelling about dastardly deeds done, dirt cheap. Maxine Waters last week screaming about how it's time to get rid of this awful president. These Democrats are hell-bent on this. And that's why this congressional election in Tennessee tomorrow matters, because it's a red district. The Republicans should win. But they're really worried about this one. They're really worried about this Democrat getting in there. They're calling her the Socialist of Tennessee, the AOC of Tennessee. And they're worried about this because the balance of power in the House, as you know, is so incredibly close. Way too close for comfort, no doubt about it, with Democrats hell-bent on getting revenge any way possible and taking down this president and then doing whatever they can to try to make sure that a Republican does not get back in the White House. That is their goal, 100%, no doubt about that. So we'll talk more about the Afghan man who was accused of shooting two National Guard troops. The governor of West Virginia, Patrick Morrissey, said that the one soldier who's recovering gave the thumbs up today. That's a great sign. And of course, we mourn the loss of the 20-year-old National Guard soldier who lost her life in the line of duty. We'll talk more about her as well as the show goes on today. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venario. We're getting close to the end of the year. If you check your year-end benefits, make sure they don't expire. Don't leave dental benefits on the table. Call his office. They'll help you figure it out. 856-786-2020. Big show for you today as we get ready for the Christmas season. Glad you're here.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to start this week up right. Thanks for being here. So Tim Walz is a disgrace, a disaster. And he's got a lot of political problems, this guy. He's got a lot of political problems. This New York Times story comes out, and it's about $1 billion in fraud in Minnesota. $1 billion. Now, I know it's crazy to think that, like, how does this happen, right? I mean, how does something like this occur? How does something like this happen when—and the answer is because you get an idiot who doesn't know what he's doing. That's the answer. You get a moron who doesn't know what he's doing, and then he allows the fraud to occur. And that's really what it comes down to with Tim Walz. The fraud that happened in Minnesota is entirely his fault. And I guess, you know, when you've lost the New York Times, you know what I mean? You know you got problems. You've lost the New York Times, you've got big problems. $1 billion in stolen fraud money under Governor Tim Walz. Not the New York Post, not Fox News. And the big thing is that Minnesota ignored all the red flags about this. Ignored the red flags, didn't do anything about it. And that's because the guy's incompetent. I mean, and that's being kind to say that he's incompetent. Absolutely kind to say that. And I think, too, if you think about it, when you look at the fact this guy was almost the vice president of the United States of America, imagine that. He was almost the vice president. I mean, he wasn't, because there was no chance they were going to win. But if they did win, he would have been vice president. The president was asked about his comments where he went on social media and called them the R word over the weekend. And speaking to reporters, this is what the president said in Air Force One regarding Tim Walz, cut 9.
In that same post, you mentioned Tim Walz, and you called him what many Americans do find an offensive word, retarded. Do you stand by that claim of calling Tim Walz retarded?
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with him, absolutely, sure.
But you don't think
you have a problem with him? You know what? I think there's something wrong with him. Anybody that would do what he did, anybody that would allow those people into a state and pay billions of dollars out to Somalia, we give billions of dollars to Somalia. It's not even a country because it doesn't function like a country. It's got a name, but it doesn't function like a country. Yeah, there's something wrong with Walz.
Now, the headline, too, is it's not even the kind of thing where they don't even mention him. They literally say how this all happened on Tim Walz's watch. Like they literally say how $1 billion went missing under Tim Walz's watch as governor. So even the New York Times is acknowledging this is all on him. It's all on him. No doubt. And I think everybody can figure out the thing with Tim Walz, right? How fraud swamped Minnesota's social services system on Tim Walz's watch. Prosecutors say members of the Somali diaspora, a group with growing political power, were largely responsible. President Trump has drawn national attention to the scandal amid his crackdown on immigration. The fraud scandal that rattled Minnesota was staggering in its scale and brazenness. That's the first line of the New York Times story. Staggering in its scale and brazenness. The guy who could have been vice president of the United States of America. Federal prosecutors charged dozens of people with felonies, accusing them of stealing hundreds of millions of dollars from a government program meant to keep children fed during COVID-19. At first, many in the state saw the case as a one-off abuse during a health emergency, but new schemes targeting the state's generous safety net programs came to light. State and federal officials began to grapple with a jarring reality. Over the last 5 years, fraud took root in pockets of Minnesota's Somali diaspora as scores of individuals made small fortunes by setting up companies that billed state agencies for millions of dollars worth of social services that were never provided. This all happened under Governor Tim Walz's watch. 59 people have been convicted in these schemes so far, and that more than $1 billion, that's a billion with a B, in taxpayers' money has been stolen in 3 plots the feds are investigating. That is more than Minnesota spends annually to run its Department of Corrections. Minnesota's fraud scandal stood out even in the context of rampant theft during the pandemic when Americans stole tens of billions through unemployment benefits, business loans, and other forms of aid, according to federal auditors. We're all wishing we got our slice of that pie, huh? Outrage has swelled among Minnesotans, and fraud has turned into a potent political issue in a competitive campaign season. Governor Tim Walz and fellow Democrats are being asked to explain how so much money was stolen on their watch. How'd he do it, by the way, with his explanation? Well, he went on TV over the weekend, sitting down in what should have been a very friendly interview with Kristen Welker of Meet the Press, dodging accountability, of course. This is cut number 11 from his interview with Kristen Welker. Take a listen.
Dozens of people of East African descent have been charged, convicted, and sentenced for stealing more than $1 billion in taxpayer money from government programs during COVID. As you know, Governor, that is more than Minnesota spends each year to run its Department of Corrections. So I want to give you a chance to respond to this. Do you take responsibility for failing to stop this fraud in your state?
Well, certainly I take responsibility for putting people in jail. Governors don't get to just talk theoretically. We have to solve problems. And I will note, it's not just Somalis. Minnesota is a generous state. Minnesota is a prosperous state, a well-run state. We're AAA bond rated, but that attracts criminals. Those people are going to jail. We're doing everything we can. But to demonize an entire community on the actions of a few, it's lazy.
No, you're lazy. You're lazy for letting this happen on your watch because you're incompetent. In recent days, President Trump has weighed in, calling Minnesota a hub of fraudulent money laundering activity and saying that Somali perpetrators should be sent back to where they came from. Many Somali Americans in Minnesota say the fraud has damaged the reputation of their entire community, around 80,000 people, at a moment when their political and economic standing was on the rise. Debate over the fraud has opened new rifts between the state's Somali community and other Minnesotans, and has left some Somali Americans saying they are unfairly facing a new layer of suspicion, among blah, 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 blah. The episode has raised broader accusations and questions from some residents about the sustainability of Minnesota's Scandinavian-modeled system of robust safety nets programs bankrolled by high taxes. Let me translate that jargon for you. Socialism. Scandinavian-modeled is a nice way of saying socialist system. Bankrolled by high taxes, meaning that they take money from people who contribute to the economy, and then they give them the people who, quote unquote, need it. But like every other socialist country, they're corrupt as hell. Minnesota, being a socialist state, corrupt as hell. You see what I mean? Yeah. Scandinavian style program. Code word for socialist ripoff. Yes. Waltz's administration, a system that helped create an environment that drew immigrants to the state over many decades, including tens of thousands of Somali refugees. So when you think about people that say you create an incentive for people to come to these places, and they go, no, that's crazy. And that's something about the left. Like when the left talks about raising taxes, they act like everybody will just stay and pay it. Oh, they'll just stay. No problem. They're not going anywhere. Where would they go? Where would they leave? Like Mamdani in New York. It's like, no. They'll just stay. They'll pay. They don't care. They're fine with it. When you create these socialist programs and then you're shocked to learn it becomes an incentive for people to come to the state, well, of course it does. Of course it becomes an incentive to come. Why wouldn't they come? If they know they can come, and then with that, also criminals come too. Because they go, you mean we can basically rob this place? Like, yeah. We could just create shell companies and just rob the state? Yeah. Okay, we'll come too. So you have the refugees that come, you've got immigrants who come, and you got the criminals that come too. It's a perfect formula. And it goes on for years and years and $1 billion. $1 billion. That we know of, by the way. It could become higher. The first public sign of a major problem with the state's social services program came in 2022, when federal prosecutors began charging defendants in connection to a program aimed at feeding hungry children. How bad are these scumbags, huh? You got a program aimed at feeding hungry kids, and these people are going after it because it's so rife for abuse. In fact, at the time, the attorney general called it the country's largest pandemic relief fraud scheme. How this guy got on the ticket with Kamala Harris is amazing for so many reasons. Minnesota was a state the Democrats are going to win, so that doesn't help him. He would jump on the stage like an imbecile. That didn't help him. He put tampons in the boys' bathroom. That certainly didn't help him. And then you have this massive fraud scandal going on in his state. How did they not vet this guy? I just got to put on my politics hat here for a second and say, how the hell do you not vet a guy like that? You make him your the running mate? Really? Prosecutors focused on a Minneapolis nonprofit organization called Feeding Our Future, which became a partner to dozens of local businesses that enrolled as feeding sites. Yeah, we'll be a feeding site. We'll feed the kids. We'll feed the poor kids. Yeah. And then they just take the money and they run. But the state reimbursed the group and its partners for invoices claiming to have fed tens of thousands of children. Don't you think that'd be the kind of thing you could pretty much figure out? Like if you're feeding tens of, like if you feed, say, 10 kids, all right, maybe you can sneak by on that one. Tens of thousands. You tell me one bureaucrat in Minnesota couldn't figure that out? You know, not for nothing, but they say they're feeding tens of thousands of kids. We can't account for any of them. How many? 10? No, two. No, tens of thousands. Like even 1,000, maybe you get a pass. Tens of thousands. Well, now you have a problem. In reality, federal prosecutors said, most of the meals were non-existent, and business owners spent the funds on luxury cars, houses, and even real estate projects abroad. Yes, abroad. They didn't even have the decency to buy real estate here in America. Behind the scenes, federal investigators sifted through bank records and interviewed witnesses. They said they realized that the meals fraud was not an isolated incident. Really? You think? See, that's shocking. They figured out the state was incompetent. They figured out that these programs were rife for stealing. And then they stole more money. It's like you rob a bank and then you don't get in any trouble. Like, well, might as well rob it again. Why not? Like, nobody caught us? No. Well, want to hit it up again? Yeah, why not? I mean, we can try another bank, but we might get caught. We know this bank, we won't get caught. All right, sounds good. Good plan. Criminals are pretty lazy. So if you know that you can get away with it again and again and again, you'll keep going and going and going and going. After a few years of this and hundreds of millions of dollars in, they figure, well, the odds of us getting caught are probably pretty slim. And this doofus could become vice president. They weren't counting on the fact that Trump would win and then federal prosecutors would actually look into this and start charging people. But imagine if Waltz had won. Imagine if he was vice president. You think the DOJ would be going after this? No, they would have probably dropped all charges. It would have made him look bad. In one case, hundreds of providers were reimbursed for assistance they claimed to have provided to people at risk for homelessness, though federal authorities said services weren't provided. That program was $104 million a year. The initial projection for the program, $2.6 million. It went from a projection of $2.6 million to $104 million. Now, two of the eight people charged in that scenario pled guilty. Six others have pleaded not guilty and are awaiting trial. In another program aimed to provide therapy for autistic children. Like, these are the worst people in the world. You realize this now. Hungry kids, autistic kids, hungry autistic kids. They recruited children in Minneapolis's Somali community, falsely certifying them as qualifying for autism treatment and paying their parents kickbacks for their cooperation. Prosecutors have so far charged one provider, Asha Farhan Hassan, 29 years old, with wire fraud. She and her business partner stole $14 million. Now, the attorney said his clients had entered the social services field with good intentions, but don't they all? Doesn't everybody who enters social services have good intentions? Of course they do. But eventually they began to submit fraudulent invoices. You know how that goes, right? I mean, come on. You start with the kid's lemonade stand. Somebody slips you a fiver. You're like, eh. Is anyone really going to notice if $5 goes missing? Just saying. Man, next thing you know, it's $500 million. I mean, but you had the best of intentions when you started it. You did. And for that, you deserve a round of applause. Like, well, good for you. At least you started with good intentions. Like, my clients started with good intentions. Then they realized how freaking easy it was. And can you blame them? They just stole a bunch of money. That's how easy the state of Minnesota made it. So we're pleading not guilty by reason of a reasonable person would have done the exact same thing. I mean, granted, if they didn't have a soul, but still. No one was doing anything about the red flags. No one. It was like someone was stealing money from the cookie jar and they kept refilling it. None of these state agencies were tolerating, were upset by any of this. In fact, some said that the state agencies were tolerating, if not tacitly allowing, the fraud to occur. Yeah. And I know what you're thinking. Could politics play a part in any of this? Why, it's funny you ask. Red flags in the meals program surfaced in the early months of the pandemic, but the money kept flowing. In 2020, the Minnesota Department of Education officials who administered the program became overwhelmed by the number of applicants seeking to register new feeding sites and began raising questions about the plausibility of some invoices. Feeding Our Future, the nonprofit group that was the largest provider in the pandemic program, responded with a warning. In an email, the group told the state agency that failing to promptly approve new applicants from, quote, minority-owned businesses would result in a lawsuit featuring accusations of racism that would be sprawled across the news. Feeding Our Future sued the agency, which continued reimbursing claims and approving new sites in the months that followed. And a report by the nonprofit or the nonpartisan Office of Legislative Auditor for the state of Minnesota said that the program enabled the fraud after the threat of litigation and negative press, and the state officials then decided to use their regulatory power to ensure all the programs would keep going because this Somali group is a very politically active and powerful voting bloc. Yes, that's right. So if you were wondering, Rich, could politics have played a role in all of this? The answer is yes. Incompetence, politics, a tale is all the time. In fact, the Somali American who formerly worked as a fraud investigator for the Minnesota Attorney General's office said elected officials in the state, and particularly those who were part of the state's Democratic-led administration, were reluctant to take more assertive action in response to allegations in the Somali community. Quote, there is a perception that forcefully tackling this issue might cause political backlash among the Somali community, which is a core voting bloc for Democrats. Those who try to be whistleblowers and spoke out, well, they got blasted by the Midwestern doofus Tim Walz, that incompetent crook. All right, take a quick break here. We got a lot to talk about as we continue along the show here today. There's a lot more to this story. We're just getting started. But if you doubt that Tim Walz needs to be in prison, there's no doubt in my mind after I read the entire article. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, you're not supposed to play this song. Justin, no.
I don't. It's apparently be nice to Matt DeSantis week, and I don't.
No,
feel
it's
like,
not.
Yeah, it is. It's supposed to be nice to Matt DeSantis week, and Matt DeSantis loves this song.
When did we decide this? We didn't decide this.
You said when I came back in studio, it would be nice to Matt DeSantis week.
Yeah, but I didn't. But we didn't say what. Wait, you can't just spring this on me after vacation. I need like a week to mentally prepare for Be Nice to Matt DeSantis week.
I thought the song was a nice way to kick off the week. Don't you agree, Rich?
I didn't know we're doing this. It's not on the show sheet.
Yeah, this
I'm
was,
looking at the show sheet.
I was told this as we walked in to start the show. I don't feel like getting another page added to the deposition for myself. So I just kind of rolled with it because I know she's listening.
So you mean we got to be nice to you and put up with crappy Christmas music at the same time?
You better watch that language, which I think what? You enjoyed that song, didn't you? Because no. I selected it and I have great taste.
I don't have to say I like crappy Mariah Carey music to be nice to you.
You can't say my taste is bad, though, because now this sounds like a normal Matt DeSantis week where we're not so friendly.
He got me, too, I know.
To each his own. Okay, there's no accounting for taste.
Justin, you liked the song, didn't you?
What do you say? Be nice to Matt DeSantis week doesn't we have to lie, okay?
Yes, it does. It does.
No,
it absolutely
does not.
Does.
It is not lie or and make things out of no, that's not what being nice to you is all about.
I think we need to get some clarity from Linda Kearns. I think you guys aren't being very nice right now. And I'd like a compliment.
Fine, it's
Is it the worst Christmas song?
No.
No, there you go. Okay, I'll take that. I'll take a win.
It's not the worst, but I'm sure you'll have that coming up in your repertoire since you're
I think I know what your least favorite Christmas song is, and it happens to be one of my favorites, so might hear it before the end of the day.
Why am I not surprised to hear that? Why is that the least shocking thing I've heard all day? Huh? Amazing.
You'll be begging for Mariah Carey to come back by the time I'm done.
So basically everybody has to suffer because it's Be Nice to Matt DeSantis week with this kind of music? Is that the idea?
No, no one's suffering. People like Mariah Carey.
No, they don't.
They do. It's one of the best Christmas songs. It's certainly in the top five.
Yeah, it's one of the top five most played to death songs that makes you want to take a baseball bat to a radio before the end of the Christmas season. Set your tree on fire.
Doesn't sound very nice to me, Rich.
You're not Mariah Carey. It's not your song. If this was your song, I'd have to be nice about it. It's not your song. Did you write it? Did you sing it? Probably. It's that bad.
That's
all right.
One of my
I caught myself.
Well, that's pretty close.
I caught myself right there. So that doesn't count. I thought being nice to Matt DeSantis week was a theoretical concept, like mathematics. It's not real, you know.
No, it's very real. And I'm not feeling as though you're that nice thus far. You're not as nasty as usual, but I think you could crank up the niceness a notch or two.
Fine.
You know, okay. I did look into the contract for Be Nice to Matt DeSantis week.
Yes.
I noticed a loophole.
What's the loophole?
It only says Rich has to be nice to you. It doesn't say me.
You both have to be nice.
No.
The show must be nice. The callers, the people on social media,
where was
people
that stated?
In the YouTube chat.
Where was that stated? As far as I know, Linda only paid for Rich to be nice to you for a week. She never paid for me to be nice to you for a week.
Well, Linda's the attorney. She would know better than I would. But
well, of course she's going to say I'm included into it. But when we had the Travis Mannion Foundation Radiothon, it was for Rich to be nice to you for a week, not for me and your sucky Mariah Carey song.
No.
Thank you, Justin.
The whole
and
show.
By the way, you're trying to turn this into a class action suit is what you're doing.
No, because if Justin doesn't have to be nice to me, I know exactly how this is going to play out. Rich won't say anything negative about me. He'll just text Justin to say it for him.
It's called a loophole, buddy. You should have written up a better contract.
You can't out-lawyer Linda Kearns.
All right, fine. We'll all, everybody, YouTube chat, social media. I mean, that's... This would be a bigger class action lawsuit than the tobacco settlement, but when this is all said and done. There's like one person that likes you. That's it.
Oh, you know what? Fred's sister-in-law on X, not very nice. Not very nice at all. If it's she posted, if it's be nice to Matt DeSantis, could Matt be nice to the audience and not play that stupid Mariah Carey song? That's not very nice. That's not very nice, social media. We got to crank up the niceness. Say positive things about Matt DeSantis, how wonderful he is, and how great his selection in Christmas music has been thus far.
God, I picked the wrong week to work on a Friday, too. This is going to be a long, long week. All right. Well, thank God we have to take a break. We'll come back. We'll do our best to be nice to Matt DeSantis. I'll give you the latest on Tim Walz and this amazing billion-dollar fraud scam that he absolutely 100% knew about. No doubt about it. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something out of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.